Three brown bears were shot in Haines this week. The person who shot them claims it was in self-defense. And a five-day Haines workshop teaches the intimate art of portrait painting. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Three brown bears were shot this week near a home on Beach Road in Haines. Haines police say they received a call from a man on Wednesday morning reporting he shot the bears on his property. He told police two of the bears were dead and one was wounded before it ran off. Police found the third bear dead. Haines police turned the case over to Alaska wildlife troopers who say the man claims he shot the sow and two cubs in defense of life and property. Troopers took possession of the bears and are investigating. Last summer, seven brown bears were shot. Charges were filed in three of those cases. The others were investigated, but no charges were filed. The 23rd annual Kluane Chilkat International Bike Relay will speed from Haines Junction to Haines this Saturday with about 1,300 participants. Bike Relay board member Chip Lendy estimates he has biked in the 148-mile race about 20 times. Almost every year it's happened.
The route starts out of Haines Junction real steep, and then it goes along the lakes there, Desdiash Lake, kind of rolling. Then it hits the steeper, longer hills of Million Dollar Falls and Pringle Tower. And then it hits the Alpine, which is kind of rolling, but, you know, subject to, I guess, colder weather or not as protected. So it can be a challenge if the weather's bad. And then you come down into Haines, which is, you know, very pretty.
Lendy is on a four-person team with family members. There are about 100 other four-person groups, 83 eight-person teams, 45 two-person teams, and 92 soloists. Lendy says each year the number of solo competitors goes up.
Last year we had 63 soloists. This year is 92, and it just means that it's attracting more, I'd call avid cyclists, or not competitive, but just serious cyclists that are willing to do that.
Race organizers cap the number of competitors around 12 or 1,300 because of limited space on the road and in Haines. One potential challenge this year is the Department of Transportation's chip sealing road construction happening along the Haines Highway. That's between about mile 25 and the border.
And I've talked to DOT recently, and they've assured us that they're going to sweep it Saturday morning, and as long as the riders stay in the bike lane or that 6-foot breakdown lane, they shouldn't have any problems.
In terms of safety, Lendy says his biggest concern is cars. There will be support vehicles on the road with hundreds of cyclists, so he recommends not driving on the highway if you don't have to. Last year during the relay, Lendy was injured in a collision, but he says he's not worried about getting back into the pack.
I am. I'm not. I told my wife we're not racing. We're just doing it as a recreational team, as much as Lendy's can recreate, and so we'll see.
Cyclists start at 8:20 a.m. Yukon time Saturday morning from Haines Junction. The fastest riders will make it to the finish line at the parade grounds in Haines around 2 or 3 p.m. Alaska time, with the bulk of the pack arriving around 5 p.m. If you count cyclists and support teams, an estimated 2,000 visitors will be in town. The first of several mines being developed across the border from southeast Alaska has received its final environmental permit. Some Alaskans are worried the Red Chris and other British Columbia mines will impact salmon in southeast. KSTK's Katarina Sestarek reports.
The Red Chris copper and gold mine got final approval last week to discharge wastewater in the Stikine River watershed. The final permit was delayed because of extra scrutiny by a First Nations group and the BC government. It was the last environmental hurdle for the mine to jump before being guaranteed full use of its tailings storage facility. The tailings dam system, which holds waste rock, is facing a lot of criticism after a dam at the Mount Polley mine in BC collapsed last summer. It spilled millions of gallons of waste into Canadian waterways. Imperial Metals owns that mine and Red Chris. It has not responded to requests for interviews. Red Chris has been operating on a temporary permit since February. The amended Environmental Management Act permit from the BC government allows it to use its tailings facility continuously as long as it adheres to certain water quality standards. The permit allows the mine to discharge tailings into its storage facility and discharge wastewater from there. That untreated wastewater is released into a creek. The Red Chris mine is upriver from Wrangell and Petersburg. Many Southeast Alaskans worry BC mines could destroy salmon and other wildlife that many people depend on for subsistence and income. Rob Sanderson Jr. is a vice president of the Tlingit Haida Central Council and co-chair of the United Tribal Transboundary Mining Work Group. Sanderson says he's not surprised that Red Chris got its final permit because BC is approving mines at a breakneck speed.
We have the Unik River, which is poisoned. We have the Taku River, which is poisoned. And now the last pristine river, Great River in Southeast Alaska, is up next.
He says a solution ultimately depends on the Canadian and U.S. governments agreeing to work together to provide international oversight. An Imperial Metals press release calls the permit an important milestone for Red Chris. Imperial Metals expects the mine to operate at commercial production levels later this summer. Reporting in Wrangell, I'm Katerina Sestarek.
This week, about a dozen artists took out their canvases and paintbrushes for a five-day portrait workshop. The workshop was taught by Lee Coley White, and participants included artists from Haines, Juneau, and the Lower 48. KHNS talked to three people at the workshop about the intimate art of portrait painting.
My name's Lee Coley White. I'm a realist painter. I have a studio in Philadelphia. I live in New Jersey on the ocean.
I'm Doreen Dufour. I'm actually from Maine, and I came here to participate in a painting workshop.
Tia Haywood. I'm a student right now, and I'm from Haines.
A lot of my portraits, I have people looking somewhere else, and they'll get lost in their own thought, and then it's almost like a voyeuristic experience. I can watch them and tap into what is going through their mind. But then there are those portraits where I'm looking directly at and I'm making eye contact. And it's very intense and it takes some getting used to.
You have to set up a rapport with that person, not just, you don't just set them there and paint them. You get to know them. And hopefully what you get to know of them shows in the painting.
I always feel really grateful when I'm able to have a live model just because there's nothing like drawing from life because, I don't know, you really get to observe carefully. And even though when you're drawing from a picture, it's just not the same because people are constantly slightly moving. So there's just kind of more of an energy than working from a photograph.
It's really hard, I find, to paint from a photograph and not know the people because you really don't know the contours of their face and things like that. And a photograph is just that snap, that one instant, and it may not really necessarily catch the person.
We try to get the energy by, Lee taught us to first just put down the first line that you see, just like working on the basic lines that are supposed to capture the movement or the energy of the person.
And then you look up and they're looking right at you, and it kind of snaps you back into the moment. I'll tell you that the portraits that I have done, the figurative pieces I've done where I'm making direct eye contact are some of my strongest works, but they're some of the hardest ones because of that.
So in some ways I find it harder. I painted my sons from life, and I found it very difficult to paint them because you know so much about them, and sometimes the look is just not what you're feeling of them at that moment.
I think skill-building workshops like this are great for building confidence. So from here on, I think I'll feel really comfortable working in figures, where otherwise I might steer clear of adding figures into my artworks because I wouldn't know how to approach painting them.
I've learned a lot. It's interesting to know, and not to brag, but it's like I really can paint. And when I started, it was just kind of a hobby. And as time went on, it was just, now I really want to go someplace with this skill.
I'm always chasing the next level of improvement, always. It's like climbing a mountain. You get to the top of the mountain, you think you're there, and then you just see the next range ahead of you. And then you start on that journey, and you have to enjoy the journey.
You just heard Lee Coley White, Doreen Dufour, and Tia Haywood. They're in Haines this week for a 5-day portrait painting workshop. Local artist Donna Cattotti helped organize the Studio in Caminati workshop. The Sheldon Museum has a portrait exhibit opening Friday with some of the participants' work showing until July 25th. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.